Welcome to The Greek Current, a podcast by Halk and Kathimerini. I'm your host, Thanos Davelis. With the U.S. midterms behind us, we are turning our attention back to the Eastern Mediterranean, where Greece, Cyprus, and Turkey are all getting ready for national elections in 2023. Tom Ellis, the editor-in-chief of Kathimerini English Edition, joins me to look at the general climate as the region moves into this pre-election period. We'll break down the key issues that are likely to be at the top of voters' minds in Greece, such as the cost of living, the ongoing wiretapping scandal, and tensions with Turkey, while also exploring what to keep an eye out for in Turkey and Cyprus. Tom, great to have you back on The Greek Current.
Thanks for having me.
Tom, we just wrapped up a key election cycle in the United States, and the focus is obviously still on the midterms as we await results from certain key states. What's your initial take on these midterms, especially as you watch them from your vantage point in Athens?
Well, it looks like we're going to have a divided government, which often is not a bad thing. But that, you know, mostly has to do with domestic politics in the U.S. I mean, the House narrowly, I think there will be a thin majority instead of a huge one, the one that a lot of people were hoping for from the Republican side as the result of a red wave that did not materialize. But as far as we are concerned, there are two things. First of all, we still have five Greek Americans in Congress. Well, Charlie Crist opted to go against Ron DeSantis, maybe the wrong choice. And let's see if the Senate remains Democratic, which as of now looks as the most likely scenario. And who the chairpersons in committees important to our issues will be. Not a big change. The president remains the same. The Senate will probably remain the same. We'll see. And to be honest, on most of our issues, I think there's a bipartisan approach as far as Greece's role in the area, some concern about Turkey and its actions. I think concerns are shared by both Democrats and Republicans. So from the vantage point in Athens, I think everything moves along as it was. I mean, I don't see a huge difference.
I want to move us, Tom, from the U.S. elections to the Eastern Mediterranean, where Greece, Cyprus, and Turkey are all gearing up for national elections next year. Let's start with Greece first. What's the general climate like? Is Greece in a full-blown pre-election period?
The short answer is yes. The prime minister has repeatedly said that the elections will take place at the end of the four-year cycle, which the normal institutionally mature thing to do, which takes us to around June next year. Most pundits feel it will be around April or May, and actually we're going to end up having two elections, but that's another issue we'll discuss in the future. Mitsotakis and Tsipras, leaders of the two main parties, are, for all practical purposes, on campaign mode. They're giving TV interviews. Their visits seem more like campaign stops. And as far as the issues, high cost of living and inflation, let's say, it's the one, and energy, the main issue, I think, along with the wiretapping cases and relations with Turkey. I think one could divide into these three sections, the main issues that we'll be faced with during this campaign, which, as I said, for all practical purposes, has already began.
Tom, we've seen Kathimerini and major international news outlets report on the wiretapping case, and it's become a central topic in Greece for some months. It's looking, as you mentioned, like it will play a role in the upcoming elections. Can you break this down for us?
Well, it's complicated. And there's no clear picture of who has done what and who should or will pay a price and how heavy that price will be. Now, politically, the government seemed to have moved beyond the first case, the wiretapping of the leader of Centrist PASOK, the third largest party and whose participation is, for me at least, a must if there is to be a government. I cannot see how either of the two major parties in New Democracy or Syriza gathers enough votes to form a government by itself. So PASOK is a major element in the equation, and the wiretapping of its leader was by itself huge. I think it will be a tight race, much tighter than pundits are predicting for a long time. This is my analysis, at least. And now the second wave of revelations, to what extent they are true, remains to be seen or proven. And there's a lot of speculation out there. But the last few days or week has been definitely damaging to the government. And actually, there's anxiety within the ranks of the governing party as some of the people being spied upon or claimed that they were being spied upon are from New Democracy, including former Prime Minister Samaras, Foreign Minister of the NDS, and others. So it's an open question. It's really complicated, but I think it will be with us for a while. If it was just the first part in July, the polls were showing that, I mean, there was a dent, but not huge. Now, let's see. Let's see how it develops, but it will probably be a little bit more difficult for the government to handle it than the first wave. But we're going to have an interesting winter, that's for sure.
Tom, how is the government's handling of the situation playing out, both within Greece for voters, but also internationally?
Well, domestically, I think it's more divided. You know, if you are for the government, you're ready to excuse or, you know, not be willing to listen to what the opposition is claiming. If you are for the opposition, you are attacking the government fiercely. So it's a clear division in Greece. Now, internationally, it is an issue. I mean, we've seen a lot of publications, international media is covering since July this issue, which is very sensitive. And of course, the leader of PASOK being a member of the European Parliament gives this issue an even added importance to foreigners, especially the Europeans, I would say, since we're part of the European Union. On that front, I'm not sure if the government has been as effective, given all these pieces that we've seen, the analysis on major international media. One has to have second thoughts on the effectiveness of the government to deal with that with respect to its international image. And as I said before, it's such a sensitive issue, and the image of the country has been very positive with respect to the investment side and how we are moving away from the economic crisis of last decade. And suddenly, you have this very sensitive issue come up. So a lot of questions raised by the foreign media. And as I said, maybe the government, at least that's my angle, has been kind of surprised by the emphasis that is being given. I wasn't, but I think the government was surprised. And that's why, until now at least, I wouldn't say they are handling the issue with respect to foreign media as effectively as they should.
Tom, I want to move us across the Aegean to Turkey, where the polls and economy point to a President Erdogan that is in an increasingly tight spot. What will you have your eye on as elections approach in Turkey? Is there a concern in Athens, for example, that Erdogan could attempt to deflect from his poor poll numbers and maybe manufacture a crisis with Greece or Cyprus?
Well, personally, I find it difficult to imagine Erdogan losing. I mean, he'll do everything, and I mean everything, to remain in power for so many reasons. I cannot see a normal, quote-unquote, future for him if he's out of power. So I think he will remain the leader of Turkey. And then moving to the second part of the question, I mean, there is a lot of concern that the Turkish leader, he might push things to the brink in an effort to provoke Greece into some reaction, to create an incident in the Aegean, could be in Eastern Mediterranean if he does something on the Cypriot front. I mean, I'm not in his mind, but Athens seems ready, is closely monitoring the situation, and the Greek side knows that the next few months are really, really difficult, to put it diplomatically as possible. And I think from the Greek side, you know, they are working on defense, they're working on the alliances, trying to inform the international community as much as possible about the rhetoric and the actions from Turkey. In that sense, I think they are as ready as they can. But you know, if something happens, then it might be a different ball game. But we'll have to see. But there's definitely a lot of concern that the next few months could lead to something, you know, a little bit difficult to handle.
Tom, lastly, I want to wrap up with Cyprus. The presidential elections are going to take place in February, and according to the polls, it looks like Nikos Christodoulidis, the former foreign minister, has a strong lead. What should people watching the region pay attention to in these elections?
I was actually just last Saturday in Nicosia. There was a conference. I was monitoring a discussion on the delimitation of maritime zones in the East Med, and all three candidates, main presidential candidates, spoke. Christodoulidis is clearly ahead, although there's still a long road ahead until February, but he is ahead. And if he is elected, one major thing he has for him is that he's very experienced in foreign affairs as a career diplomat, and until last year as a foreign minister, and also former government spokesman. So he will be faced with an extremely dire situation as the Turkish position has moved away from what was being discussed for decades. And actually, you noted that a little bit earlier. We are faced with elections in all three countries. So let's see what happens in both Greece and Turkey, and then, although before them, in Cyprus. We'll end up around sometime in the summer, if everything goes well, with three governments having 4 or 5 years ahead of them, newly elected. And in one sense, at least that's what the negotiators and people who watch issues like that from an international perspective, that's the best setup for serious discussions and sometimes necessary compromises. But getting back to, having said that, getting back to what I said before, Christodoulidis is quite experienced on foreign affairs. He has dealt with the Cyprus issue a lot. So he most likely would be definitely ready to act and deal with the issue as professionally and as effectively as possible.
Tom, if you were in Washington, D.C., you know, how would you be viewing everything going on in these Met as the build-up to these elections occur?
Well, it's true that we are in a very tense situation between Greece and Turkey, and I think that's something that is shared in the power centers in Washington, the think tanks, even from questions I receive from either colleagues or analysts. It's the first time in years, if not decades, that a lot of people are asking, you know, could there be an incident? You know, is it that bad? So I assume there's concern in Washington, and I'm not sure that the U.S. administration would be able to influence things as much as it could in the past, and we had, let's say, the most recent example in 1996 with the EMEA crisis, with Holbrooke or even Clinton. You could see how the U.S. influence played a role. Now, of course, the U.S. remains a superpower and has its own ways to pressure the participants and the players in the area. But with respect to Turkey, there's a big question mark. And all that, let's not forget, taking place at the time when you have a real war with Russia and Ukraine, very close to the area where Greece and Turkey, of course, play their own roles. NATO has its own stakes. NATO is trying to expand. You know, there are a lot of parts of this equation, this puzzle. And when you have so many parts, so many unknowns, and so high stakes, it's even more dangerous. But one can only hope that the people who are responsible and who are watching things would be able to deal with them effectively and before the worst takes place.
Tom, thanks for joining us with this analysis. Always great speaking with you.
Thank you very much.
In other news, the Greek state and Onyx signed the agreement for the reorganization and transfer of Elefsis shipyards on Thursday, pending a final court approval. Development and Investments Minister Adonis Georgiadis said he sees the restart of the shipping industry in Greece as a national wager, adding that it was a pity Greece, such a great power in international shipping, did not have a role to play in the shipbuilding industry. For all these reasons, this is a historic day. Defense Minister Nikos Panagiotopoulos said the shipyards would not be solely devoted to a single customer, the Hellenic Navy, for example, but would support and serve other needs of Greek shipping. Finally, Italy, France, and the Netherlands have put in proposals to supply new corvettes to Greece, which is boosting its armed forces amid tensions with Turkey, Kathy Medini has learned, after signing a 3.3 billion euro deal for the supply of three FDI frigates built by French shipbuilder Naval Group. The Hellenic Navy is set to buy three corvettes with an option for a fourth for between 1.6 to 2 billion euros. Ongoing negotiations mostly focus on the financing details of the program. The extent of co-production in order to bolster local shipyards is also understood to be an issue. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.